Well, we've looked together at many of the characteristics of Moses as him being a role model for the church. And I wanted to look at one more with you. And it's one that's mentioned after his life, right? After he lived, it's mentioned by one of the prophets, Isaiah. And we're going to look at this verse in Isaiah 63, but the context of it is that the Lord is remembering his people in mercy. Right? They've been rebellious, but he wants to lead them once again. And he refers to Moses. And so let's read this in Isaiah 63 and verse 11. It says, "Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, 'Where is he that brought him up out of the brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him?'" And, you know, so it's describing how God wants to guide his people once again, as in days of old. And he refers to the time when Moses was leading them as a shepherd of his flock. And, you know, and so there's this context that Moses was a shepherd. You know, of course, he was literally a shepherd for 40 years. Like, you know, 40 years as in occupation is qualifies you pretty well. That's a lot of experience. But I think that we're really talking about a different type of shepherd, but a shepherd of the people of God. And this is really another key identifier of Moses with the Lord. Just as Moses was the meekest man in all the earth, you know, so too he was a shepherd, as the Lord is our good shepherd. And so, you know, this is something we see in Scripture that is dear to the Lord's heart, this thought of a shepherd. Now, Pastor Bailey, he once had a vision and he saw the Lord, but instead of, you know, kingly robes, he saw the Lord in just the normal robes that a shepherd would wear, just taking care of his sheep out in the wilderness. And he said that he felt like the Lord was showing him that what he delights in the most, almost more than anything else, is the simplicity of being a shepherd to his people. You know, because she's showing how he has to love and care for them, has compassion and concern for others. And that's the heart of God. Right? Because in actuality, a shepherd exists not for himself, but for everyone else, for others, for the flock. He really has no other function but to care for other people. And that's the example God is giving to us in his life, in his ministry, and through his servants, one of whom is Moses. And that's I think what he's making clear is he desires that this role be also worked out in his people. Now, we recognize there's a ministry office of a pastor, right, which is a spiritual shepherd. Some languages, the word pastor is actually shepherd, right? And so there's that concept is closely tied. But there's also the concept, like several of the offices, you know, we're called to do the work of that, right? Like Paul said to Timothy, do the work of an evangelist, right? To be a witness for Christ. So that's a calling all of us share. We're all to be a witness and to call to do that work. You know, we could probably apply that to the prophet in the sense that we're called to flow in the Spirit. God wants us to have a prophetic flow, you know, of the Spirit of God within us, and, you know, to encourage others and build others up. But it's also the thought of the shepherd is really, we can't fulfill our true calling without being a shepherd, because our calling is to love our neighbor as ourself. And that can only be done with a shepherd's heart who cares and concern, has a care and concern for others. I was actually thinking about that with the parable of the Good Samaritan. You know, of all the parables, which one depicts the heart of a shepherd? It's really this parable, right? Because a lowly Samaritan passes by the way and he sees a Jew who's been beaten and robbed and left for dead. The priest and the Levite pass by and they just go to the other side. They think, hey, oh, he might be dead. I don't want to be ritually defiled. An inconvenience to them. They did nothing. But the Samaritan had compassion. He bound up his wounds. He poured in the oil and the wine, took him to an inn, to a place, took care of him, and he took responsibility to care for him, provided what he needed until he was fully restored. That's a shepherd's heart right there, of finding a lost little lamb who needs attention, who needs care, to bring them back to that place of restoration. Actually, really, it's a picture of Christ. I mean, in this parable, it's Christ who finds us broken and beaten up because of our sin, and he takes us and gently restores us to health, to life. And in fact, Jesus was actually called a Samaritan by some of the Pharisees in John chapter 8. But primarily, it was an answer. It was a challenge to the lawyer who said, "Who is my neighbor?" And because Christ had told him, we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so he shares this story of how we can love our neighbors. And it's basically the story of being a shepherd, having a heart of a shepherd. And I think it's one of the characteristics that Christ wants and desires to be worked into our lives. Of course, one of the prime areas we get that thought of a shepherd and of the Lord as a shepherd is how the Lord revealed himself to David, right? In that beautiful psalm, Psalm 23, where David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And so David knew the Lord as his shepherd, who led him, provided for him, cared for his soul, protected him in times of trouble and fear, and even prepared a table to sustain him when he was facing his enemy. It's interesting of the individuals who are actually called a shepherd. There's very few in Scripture that are called a shepherd of God's people. There's really two in that sense of being called the shepherd over God's people, you know, to care for them. And one of them is Moses, right? We actually read that in Isaiah 63. He was called the shepherd of God's people. And the second is David, actually. You know, God calls him the one who he's going to return in the millennium, and he's going to feed and take care of Israel, and he'll be their shepherd. Yeah, that's how God describes it in the millennium. That's Ezekiel 34. He will be their shepherd. And I think it's interesting, these two men were called shepherds, but yet they had a clear experience with the one who was their shepherd. And because they met God in that way, they could portray themselves and they could lead others with a shepherd's heart. You know, Moses met God being a shepherd 40 years and was changed. Of course, David was a shepherd boy, but he encountered the Lord as his shepherds. And now they're the ones who portray, and they're that role model to us of Christ as the shepherd. And so, you know, we want to follow their role model in leading and encouraging others and guiding them in the pathway of righteousness. Now, of course, the ultimate expression of or lesson of the shepherd was given to us by the Lord himself. Right? I just taught the Gospel of John, so it's pretty fresh to me. And in John chapter 10, Jesus declares himself in one of the seven I ams that he gives. John 10 and verse 11, he says, "I am the good shepherd." That's interesting because, you know, in Moses, earlier we looked at how the Lord revealed himself as the I am that I am. Well, here's part of that I am revelation. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. You know, that's really the whole summary of a shepherd. Christ came down to earth to give his life for the sheep. That's the only way to fulfill the role of a good shepherd, is to lay down our life. Right? And we'll consider that more in a moment. But I just want to touch on the other I am that's shared in John chapter 10, right? Because it's connected. Right? So in John chapter 10 and verse 9, Jesus also says, "I am the door." Right? If any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he'll go in and out and find pasture. And so Jesus, he starts with portraying himself as the door. And of course, we enter into the kingdom through Christ as the door. He's the only way. He said, entering in any other way, you're like a robber or a thief. You know, so it doesn't work. But our whole purpose is to guide others through the door of Christ, through our words, through our example. But there's also another thought that I think can give some illumination to us. You know, that's tied closely with the thought of the shepherd. If we can show that image, we've got an image of an ancient sheep pen here. And so this is kind of what it would have looked like in the wilderness. You know, sometimes in modern terms, we think of how we can just go to Home Depot and get building material and put up a barn or something for the sheep. But in ancient times, all they had was rocks. So what they do is they would pile up. In fact, to be fully accurate, this one has a wood lintel. I don't think that would have existed back then. A shepherd would have had rocks, and they would have piled up a sheep pen. And at night, they would have, you know, encouraged their sheep to go in there. There wasn't really a door. You know, they didn't have a lot of material to build a door and attach that, so that the shepherd would do is he would be the door, and he would sit in that. And, you know, the only way for danger to get into that pen was if they went through the shepherd. And that's a picture, you know, for us, that the Lord is our shepherd and he's guarding the door. No one can get by him. We go through him. But then he is our protector against all enemies, because no one's going to get through Christ to get to us. But there's that thought of guarding, right? Now, there's obviously the context of spiritual leadership as a pastor or a shepherd, you know, guarding the flock. But there's another sense in that we are all called to look out for one another. Right? We are called to bear one another's burdens, to care for one another. Right? We looked at that with the parable of the Good Samaritan. And so as a shepherd, or having a shepherd's heart, you know, we want to be on guard and watch out for others to prevent harm from coming to them. Now, I'm sharing this with a specific context, right? A spiritual one, and how we relate to one another in the body of Christ. But now I was just thinking of how one aspect of that, of how we can guard and care for one another. Now I was just thinking about our words, of the words we have and we communicate with, you know, because we've probably all had experiences in life where we spoke without thinking first. We blurted out words and we're like, oops, did I say that out loud? Oops, I probably should have held that back and thought about it for just a few seconds. Would have been helpful. Now, other times, you know, we can try and speak and say something funny, you know, and all of a sudden, that joke didn't come out right, you know, or we're trying to say something to impress people or appear intelligent. But sometimes it can be at the expense of others, or not even thinking of others in those words. But you see, a true shepherd's heart, every word is spoken with the ultimate purpose of doing no harm, of protecting, of building up others. You see, we can be a door of protection for others by guarding the door of our lips. Now, I was just kind of considering this concept. I was also teaching Second Coming, so I was thinking of the last days too, and You know, Revelation talks about the great white throne when everyone's going to appear before him, before the Lord. And, you know, I personally believe, right? This is not firm doctrine, but I'm sharing what I believe. I believe that a part of the great day of judgment is going to be a huge review of our conversations, of our words that we've spoken in life. Now, I can back that up with scripture, right? Because Jesus said in Matthew 12:37, by our words we're justified, by our words we're condemned. You know, and so I don't know how it's going to happen, but somehow it's going to be supernatural because we've all said a lot of words in our life, maybe some more than others, but that's okay. The Lord's going to deal with that. You know, some maybe he's going to highlight certain the ones that matter, right? Or the ones that need to be addressed. Because, you know, the blood of Christ is there to cleanse our sin, right? Of our words. However, there are still the consequences of our words that have to be addressed, right? That's what we're going to give an account for, how our words affected others, whether for good, and maybe there'll be that, hey, well done. Look at all those words that you used and you took the time to build others up because that was your care. But I think when we get to heaven, we're going to have a full realization of the effect our words have on other people, whether for good or not for good, you know, and it's going to be in the full light of day or the full light of reality, the reality of eternity, of heaven. That's scary to me. I have to admit that. When I get to heaven, hopefully, you know, I've obtained grace to use my words for good, to build others up, not to tear down, not to expose or anything like that. And I so want to avoid that because our calling is to have a heart of a shepherd towards other people. That is what will last for eternity, you know, because our words are eternal in the sense that they go beyond and, you know, they're there for everyone to see. Sometimes we mutter to ourselves and so I've been known to mutter. So I said, what did you say? Like, nothing, I'm just muttering, you know. But you see, our words are written and they're there. And that's, you know, that's where we want to determine, I want to have a heart of a shepherd. A couple more thoughts here. You know, so we can come, you know, to Christ and we can meet with him. But something else that's interesting in this thought of the good shepherd is there's a progression we see, right? It says, and we looking in John 10 and verse 3, it says, to him the porter opens and the sheep hear his voice and he calls his own by name and he leads them out. And so he said, the sheep hear his voice. And notice it's not the lambs, it's the sheep who hear his voice. And so, you know, we can kind of see this. If you've heard me preach or teach long, you know I like to bring out the concept of threes in scripture. Here's another three or group of threes, right? Because we know that when we first come through the door, we don't come as sheep, we come as lambs, right? Or as John says, little children. And so there's this progression that we can see, you know, of coming as lambs into the kingdom. Lambs are carefree. They like to hop around and have lots of fun, but they're also very needy for protection, right? They don't know sometimes when they need to get out or avoid danger or so forth. And so they look to the mature sheep. But then the sheep, Jesus brings that progression out. See, they're mature because they hear his voice. They've gone on to know him. They recognize the need to hear him and follow him. But, you know, that's not the final point of progression because God desires us to have a shepherd's heart. And you could equate that to being fathers and mothers in Christ, but also to get to that place where we have to go within the veil, right? Because that speaks of the crucified life. And that's why Jesus said, I lay down my life for my sheep. And so it's really a comprehensive picture of, of the pathway he's calling us to walk upon. It's good to think of him, he's my good shepherd, and I'm just a little lamb that's going to hop around and enjoy his presence, but really the true calling is to follow the lamb, who is also the good shepherd, to walk in his pathway. Right? He's asking us to drop our nets, pick up our cross, and follow him in his way. You know, of course, Christ is the ultimate example. You know, we'll never surpass our master, but as Jesus himself said, but it's enough to be like him, to walk in that same way. And so Christ is the good shepherd. Pastor Bailey brings out in his commentary that good does not just mean upright, but it means that he's really good at being a shepherd. And I'm so grateful for that, that he's good at being our shepherd. You know, that's one of the qualities of God that really allows us to have a firm and a far-reaching hope in the Lord. Even when we're in a troubling season, maybe we don't have a word from God. We don't have a word of faith to hold us. What do we fall back on? It's the fact that we're in the flock of the good shepherd. He's really good at taking care of us. He's really good at leading us. He's really good at you know, he knows our soul has needs. He knows when we're wounded. He knows when we need good things to eat. And he's there to offer that to us. But what do we need to be? We need to be like those sheep that hear his voice and respond to what he's offering and follow him in that way. But in doing that, we can safely trust that whatever season we're in, even if it seems like we're defeated, he can turn it for good. As it says in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. Like, we can offer maybe an alternative, I wouldn't say translation, but an alternative way to view this is he turns all things for good for those who are the sheep of his pasture and hear his voice. Right? Because he is good at being our shepherd and he will take care of us. But there's a duality in this aspect of progression, because even though we can come to that place of being fathers and mothers in Christ and having a shepherd's heart, that no matter where we are in our spiritual journey, we're still a sheep. We're still following the good shepherd. And so there's that key attribute that we need is, my sheep hear my voice. There can be so many sounds in the world that are going or taking place, but what our ears have to be attuned to is the shepherd's voice above all. I still remember, I was reading an account about the ancient shepherds, you know, when I was studying for the Gospel of John originally. And I read that what they would do is, because of danger, because of enemies and, you know, wild beasts and such, they would gather. Multiple shepherds would gather their flocks all in one group. And of course, in our minds, we're like, you're just going to put all those flocks, and it could be up to like over 1,000 sheep all together, just mixed. You know, the shepherds surrounding them, protecting them during the night. But they said what they would do to separate the sheep is the shepherds would walk far away from the flock, and they would just call out, come on, sheep, let's go this way. And throughout all those shepherds, maybe there's 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, who knows how many, they could discern the voice of their shepherd. Sometimes there can be great confusion in life. It can be a big jumble of things. It feels like just everything's crashing together. There can be fear and anxiety and many voices. But what will allow us to come to a place of safety and protection is attuning our ear to hear his voice, not the crowds. You know, those are things we have to learn to tune out. And sometimes I'm not very good at tuning things out. Sometimes, in fact, one time I was staying in a room and I had to take the clock off the wall because that tick was keeping me up. You know, you got to learn to tune things out. That's why I have some noise canceling headphones. You have to tune those out and tune ourselves to hear what the Spirit is saying. And that's the greatest form of protection in life. But then he says one more thing here in closing in John 10 and verse 3. We read this earlier. To him, the porter opens, the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. And so it's thought that thought of he calls them by name. There's that close personal relationship, right, of continually hearing and responding to the shepherd. And we, of course, see this in Moses, right, when he had that encounter with the Lord on the mountain in Exodus 33:17. The Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing that you have spoken of, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And so when Moses asked God to show him the way to lead Israel, God's reply is, I'm going to do this because I know you by name. Speaking of the type of relationship that Moses had with him. You know, earlier it said of Moses, right, in Exodus 33:11, it said, the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face as a man speaks unto his friend. That's another confirmation of the relationship Moses had. You know, he was a friend of God. There's very few people actually in Scripture that God says were his friends. It was Moses, Abraham, and his disciples who followed him through that 3.5 years and who were committed to following him to the end. All right? Those who had been, who walked with him, who trusted in him, who hoped in him, who gave up family and relationships and other things to follow the Lamb. And so the Lord said to his disciples, you know, John 15:14, I call you no more servants, but friends. And you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. And so that really is one of the greatest lessons of Moses' life. And God accomplished much through him because he was a shepherd to his people. And he knew the one who is the good shepherd. And the ultimate calling and relationship is to be like him. And if we're walking that way, then the ultimate relationship we have is friendship, the friend of God. And of course, we have friends because they're like, we relate to them. We understand each other because we've walked in similar ways. You know, and that comes with experiences of following the good shepherd, who is the Lamb. And we know from Revelation, we are called to follow the Lamb wherever he leads us. But we see Moses as the role model, who was a shepherd. He laid down his lives for his sheep. And our calling is to develop that same heart of a shepherd, of care, of guarding the sheep in the primary way. One of the primary ways we can do that is guarding our words so that they do no harm for the flock, but instead build them up. And as we develop that relationship of hearing and responding to his voice, it's bringing us to that place of God knowing us, and we can know him not just as a servant, but as a friend as we follow him in the way. Lord, you see the response of your people. Lord, we're crying out to you. Oh, that you would come as the good shepherd, that you would lead us in a good way. Lord, that you give us ears to hear what you're saying. And that, Lord, in that we recognize you're the role model, you're the example that you want us to follow and to walk in. And so, Lord, we cry out to you, come and search us. Lord, come and do a work, cleansing work. Lord, a work of transformation. Lord, in the areas that we're not like a shepherd, Lord, would you change us? Lord, that we would have a shepherd's heart after you. Lord, in caring for others and loving others, Lord, even before ourselves and as ourselves. Oh, give us that heart. Oh, Lord, we pray. Lord, and lead us, because, Lord, our ultimate desire, Lord, is to know you, for you to know us and for us to know you, even as a friend. Oh, do that work within us. And we thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.